Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we discuss queer women films. Mm-hmm. Women with an X.
Yeah.
Queer umbrella-y.
Yeah. We like to be inclusive. We are more inclusive than the film industry.
Yes.
Is.
We do like to, whenever we can, watch trans identity films as well. But this one is not really that.
Nope. There's some gender fuckery going on in terms of like presentation stuff, but everyone is cis.
Yeah, and for the most part, it's because this movie was released in 1994.
Yeah.
Not that trans people didn't exist in 1994. No, but
representation was even worse than it is now.
And we're talking about the classic film, Go Fish.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say the title yet.
No, we're leaving them in suspense.
Mm, yeah.
That's me.
Yep.
Suspenseful.
Mm-hmm. But now we know. Go Fish.
Oh, yeah. So this was directed by Rose Trochet, who did a lot of L Word episodes. Mm-hmm.
I saw that too. I looked her up.
Yep. And let's see what else.
Guinevere Turner.
Oh yeah.
Oh, sorry. Turner. You were still talking about Rose. Sorry.
Yeah. Rose did, Vita as well.
Vita?
She did a couple of Vita episodes. Yeah.
How did I miss that? I freaking love that show. It's so good.
And then one episode of South of Nowhere.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
Favorite preteen.
Oh, my God. That show. There's just so much with that show. I feel like we could do a whole, like, mini-series on, even though we don't talk about TV shows.
But no. That could be a spinoff.
Maybe a special. Yeah. A spinoff special.
I haven't seen that show in ages.
Oh, I watched it when I was way too old to be watching it.
Were you like, oh, God.
Yeah. But, like, it was such a train wreck, but, like, I couldn't look away. You know what I mean? I just was like, but I kind of need to finish this.
But I need to know what happens to Spashly.
Anyway, we're not talking about that today.
No. Yeah, so you were saying Guinevere Turner.
Yeah, she was the other major person in this film, and they were a couple when they started making the film.
Rose and Gwyn.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then they broke up during the filming. This is what I read on Wikipedia. So
I didn't
take it with a grain of salt, I guess. But yeah. And apparently it created a really tense atmosphere on set.
I fucking believe it. Yikes.
But Guinevere Turner, she was in the L Word.
Yes.
As an actor.
Yes.
And we talked about her a few weeks ago when we were talking about what's that movie I hate? Chasing Amy.
Yes. And then she was also in Watermelon Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. She's in... You told me that when we talked about Chasing Amy, too. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I forgot about it immediately.
Until just now. Yeah.
She's got her fingers in some lesbian
dipping her toes in lesbian pool.
Mm.
Someone's into that.
Yeah. Just the fact that she was friends with what's-his-face, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
The
guy who made Chasing Amy. Kevin Smith.
Yep, I almost said Spacey. That's not right.
Nope, different one. That just blows my mind. That they were, like, friends, and he was like, hey, can you check out my movie and tell me if, like,
this
lesbians will like it? Does
this
make sense? Although she did say, no, lesbians will hate it, but then a bunch of people liked it, apparently. I don't know. Anyway, we're not talking about that today either.
Wow. We just have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot. This movie has a lot.
Yeah. This movie reminded me a little bit of Watermelon Woman in the sense that, you know, it's very low budget.
Yeah.
It really envelops queer identities of the time.
Yes, I would say it is very much of the time. I think if I had watched it in 1994, even though I was still a child, so I was a little older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if I had watched it when it came out, I'm sure I would have loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Watching it now, I cringed so hard the whole time.
That is fucking hilarious because I kind of love this movie.
Really? That's funny. It's, well, okay. In terms of Watermelon Woman parallels, I think I see it in, like, the artsy transitions.
That's basically where
it ends. And then, like, the fact that because it was made in 1994 and it was low budget, like, the audio is not very good, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To me, Watermelon Woman is, like, worlds better than this movie.
I agree with
you. Yeah.
But there were some parts, I guess, like, I kind of, I'm not sure what the term is. It's, like, where you are watching something, and but you're like, oh my god, I can't believe this is real. Or, like, mostly because, like, we've come so far from this.
Yeah.
That, like, I kind of can't help but laugh.
Yeah. I was laughing a bunch, too. Especially those transitions. I just was like, what is this?
Yes.
The transitions just made no sense.
Yeah, the transitions are super weird, and they kind of, they break the fourth wall.
Yeah. But they are also so random.
Mm-hmm. It took me, I think it wasn't until the second one that I realized what was going on.
Yeah.
So basically, it's like about this girl, Max, played by Guinevere Turner, who is set up by her friend Kia, played by T. Wendy McMillan.
She was pretty much the only person I liked in this movie. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't even like her that much.
And she sets up, basically, she sets up Max with this other girl, Eli.
Yeah.
Played by V.S. Brody. And
she looked familiar, too. Was she in the Alien movie we watched? Or am I just thinking that because that was also black and white?
Maybe just black and white.
Okay.
No, but she did look really familiar to me. I thought she was some, like, lesbian historian. There's someone who looks like her that's, like, an archivist or something like
that.
But I looked her up, and I couldn't find that information that I was thinking of, so I must be thinking of some other butchy kind of lesbian that looks exactly the same as any butch lesbian in the 90s.
We're going to get some emails about that one. Just kidding.
Well, it was, like, so my girlfriend's a bit older than me, and her friends are even older. Some of her friends are even older than that. So they would have definitely fallen into this, like, you know, they love this movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can see that generational gap.
Yeah.
In the sense of how much the community has changed.
Yeah. For the better, I would say.
Yeah. And how sometimes all communities struggle with change.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, it opens up really funny. I love how it opens up. They're just talking about, they're like listing lesbians that they that they know are lesbians or people that they think are lesbians. And just some of my favorite from that list were Lily Tomlin, Whitney Houston. Yeah. That was like a big thing. There was a big rumor about her.
I know.
Morgan Fairchild, who has been in, I think, some of the movies, or one of the movies that we watched.
I don't know who she is.
She's an older actress.
Okay, I'll have to look her up.
Peppermint Patty. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
I think Audre Lorde was on that list.
Oh,
but she was like
probably
an out and proud lesbian, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the entire cast of Roseanne.
Yeah, that was funny. I laughed at that one. And then the one person was like, Eve. And everyone was like, what, Eve?
Who?
And she's like, you know, Eve. Like of Adam and Eve.
And Eve.
And then it was like, okay, so everyone's gay. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
That was so, it was funny. It was weird. It was like, what are you all doing just in a room, like, listing names?
Yeah.
I guess they were trying to just, like, create like a history for themselves, but it was like in a weird way.
Yeah, because Kia's kind of like the professor.
Right.
I mean, she is a professor.
Was she teaching a class?
I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe she was.
Maybe it was, I assume it was
she
like
was
a class.
On the board.
Yeah, I assume it's like a class or a workshop.
Yeah.
Or
probably
something.
A workshop because they talk about writing, like Max wants her to look at her
paper
and stuff. The other opening thing that I thought was funny was like a voiceover from Max, and you kind of see her, she's writing like very intensely, sitting in a chair. And the voiceover is like, I was supposed to meet you on a bus. Like, and then she goes through this whole thing. She creates this whole story of like what would have happened if she had met the love of her life on that bus that day.
Yeah.
And then she writes a whole story about what happened instead. but which is also fictional because she mm-hmm. there's like no love of her life that was like ever
yeah, on
a bus or outside of a bus.
Yeah.
But just like Max, I kind of despise Max.
There are a lot of things about Max I don't like.
She has so many things that I'm just like, ugh, gross.
Yeah. During that scene, I wrote down that she's very imaginative and romantic. Mm-hmm. So in that, not romantic in the sense of like flowers and chocolate
mm-hmm.
and doing something nice for someone, but she has like a romanticized view yeah. of a lot of things.
Yeah. But it's like the patriarchy's idea of romance.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree. But also, she's kind of a bitch.
She is a total bitch. Like, she, first of all, in that story that she was writing, she was like, oh, a fat man came up and knocked over a drink on her, and that's why she didn't get on the bus or whatever. I was like, okay, calling people fat in, like, as a pejorative way. Not off to a great start. And then later on, she just... This whole thing with Eli.
Yeah, shells are ugly.
That floored me.
Yeah, same.
I was like, what are we watching?
Yeah.
Like, she just says, oh, she's straight up ugly. And then she starts singing the ugly, song.
Yeah.
I was like, are you, first of all, 9 years old?
Yeah.
Are you, second of all, like, a nice, empathetic human being? I don't think so.
Yeah, I was like, I was pretty yeah. pissed in that moment. I was like, I think I even said out loud, like, rude.
Yeah.
yeah, and Kia's just like, oh, well, why don't you, like, you know, they're talking about how Max wants to have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And she really just wants a girlfriend, which yeah. is another weird thing.
It reminds me, in that sense, of Desi's looking for a new girl.
Yeah. Like, just wants a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, why?
Yeah.
there's no...
Yeah, she clearly wants a specific, she has a specific idea of what that girlfriend is like.
Yeah.
And what she looks like, apparently.
Yeah, Kia kind of comments on that later in the movie.
Yeah.
She's like, Max has this idea of, like, a hip-hop Barbie as
yeah.
her girlfriend, and she needs to let it go, because,
mm-hmm.
like, that's just, she needs to let go of, not necessarily that she wouldn't be able to find a hip-hop Barbie, but the fact that she's, like, so specific
right.
about finding someone
yeah.
To fit these standards
mm-hmm.
that she has.
Yeah, these narrow...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she makes fun of, like, everyone, but specifically Eli,
mm-hmm.
their fashion sense,
mm-hmm.
and, yeah, the way people dress is a big deal for Max.
Yeah.
And she describes herself as fashionable, I should
yeah.
say.
She doesn't want to be described as butch. She wears, mm-hmm. like, a backward baseball cap and kind of, like, baggy shorts and baggy t-shirts, which, I mean, was very much, like, 90s style.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want to be called butch. But she's very quick to label other people as butch.
Yeah.
Especially after Eli cuts her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got ahead of ourselves a little bit, as we are wont to do.
It's just, yeah, there's something about Max that doesn't sit right with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved all the topics that this movie touched upon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether or not it really meant to. So, like, that
yeah.
that was one of them.
Yeah.
Was, you know, how uncomfortable Max is with, like, herself and
mm-hmm.
the appearance of others
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
That was something that was interesting, and it made me... Like, I thought for a long time on it.
Yeah.
Which I thought
I thought
good.
About it a lot, too, especially because last time we met, we had a conversation about the word butch.
Yeah.
And you don't like that word, you said.
I don't.
Okay, maybe I'm remembering wrong.
What context was it?
I think it was the context of, like, outwardly presenting.
Oh, I think maybe it was in the sense of, like, having to code someone as femme or butch.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
like, but... Like, the idea of
yeah.
butch,
mm-hmm.
I think, is a powerful
yeah.
Title.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yourself.
For people who claim it for themselves,
mm-hmm.
it can be really empowering. And, yeah, I don't know. The thing I like about butchness, if you can call it that.
Yeah, I think
is, like, blending these... It's, like, blending what in society is a binary.
Yeah.
Like, feminine, masculine. And you just, like, mix it all up, and you're like, let's have fun with this, or, like, let's just fuck it up. I
yeah.
like that a lot.
I feel like, and there's a lot of characters in this movie that do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Eli is kind of one of them. There's another woman, Daria.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she kind of does that, too.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of the women in this movie have, like, you know, pretty short, like, cropped hair, mm-hmm. but they also dress very feminine. Yeah. So it was, like, that kind of, like, I don't know, 90s. It also mm-hmm. was, like, Chasing Amy as well, the girl yeah. that she hooks up with yeah, and, like, right. kisses and stuff yeah. like that. Yeah, they look kind of the same. Yeah. All right, what else didn't I like about this
one? let's look at the list.
The thing that I thought that was interesting was, so Eli and Max go on a date.
Yeah.
And they see a movie.
Yeah.
I wish I knew okay. what movie it was.
I know, me too. I also felt like the setup for that was so weird, because, like, Kia set them up. She was like, okay, well, all three go to this movie, and then she bailed at the last minute. And Max shows up at Eli's door being like, hey,
oh, yeah,
Kia so can't come. Do you still want to go? Like, really giving off vibes like she did not want to hang out with Eli alone.
Yeah.
And Eli was like, I think she kind of picked up on that. She was like, well, I don't know. And then Max is like, yeah, we probably shouldn't go. We should wait for Kia. And I was like, okay. Great. So then she just left, but then she came right back and she was like, let's go. I just don't understand what Eli could possibly see in Max. Max is so shallow and she's
super immature,
And she's also showing no interest in her until suddenly she does for some reason.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me. I felt like there was no chemistry between them.
Yeah.
The whole thing was weird.
I didn't believe any of the chemistry.
No.
Also,
no offense to the acting, like, it's not like I could act. I just feel like everyone was flubbing their lines, and, like, kept going.
I thought a lot of it was improv.
Oh, maybe.
But, like, it was, like, lightly scripted.
Okay.
I watch movies with subtitles, mm-hmm. And the subtitles were, like, totally off. They would miss little things. They, like, they got the main,
uh-huh.
like, gist of it. So it's kind of like they typed it out, but okay. then they let the actors kind of do what they want. I yeah. don't know that for a fact, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, people did flub their lines.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently.
Yeah, frequently. And Eli did that a bunch in that scene, which I think also took me out of it a little bit, where I was like... Yeah. Then paying attention to that, and then, like, all of a sudden they were kissing, and I was like, wait, what?
I fucking hated that scene.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was super awkward, because, so they walk in after the movie, and Max is like, why are queers so pathetic?
And she's have a whole conversation yeah. about representation, too. Yeah. That was another tick against Max for me. Max, oh my god.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting, because, she says, he's a gay filmmaker. He owes us positive representation. And Eli says, we expect queer filmmakers to represent the entire community, mm-hmm. and that's a lot to ask of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have to remind myself of that as well.
Yeah, same.
Not that I get, like, so uppity as Max, but...
No.
yeah, there's a lot of different identities mm-hmm. in the queer community yeah.
and a lot of different experiences, and people choose to tell their different stories.
Yeah.
But with any kind of, like, I don't really like the word marginalized, but, you know, like, quote unquote marginalized in Hollywood identity,
mm-hmm.
Like, where you don't have a lot of representation, there is kind of this burden of, like, oh, you're telling the one story.
Yeah.
And that is kind of shitty.
Yeah, it's like more, yeah, just to yeah. like, you know, have a mm-hmm. wider array of mm-hmm. experiences.
Yeah.
But I thought what Eli said was interesting. She was like, well, a lot of people don't like themselves because they're gay, and mm-hmm. he's maybe showing what he sees in his community.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was,
yeah,
that was interesting and a good way to put it.
Totally.
So yeah, I feel like Eli is, like, so well-spoken.
Yeah.
And...
Except for when she messes up her life.
Yeah.
But that's reasonable.
But, like, so well-spoken, very smart, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, what do you see in Max? Like, yeah, she's a little cute, but, like, mm-hmm. after, like, she opens her mouth, I'm mm-hmm. kind of like, and it's
yeah. gone. Oh,
and it's gone.
We ruined it.
But, yeah, they...
Eli also works at a vet.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's, like, a vet tech.
Yeah.
And
she's in school. For yes. something.
Yeah. We're not really sure what.
Yeah.
and she has a girlfriend in Seattle.
Yeah.
Someone that she's been dating for like 2.5 years long distance, mm-hmm. and they've only seen each other 3 times.
Yeah.
And
we find this out because there's kind of this, like, narration that happens where there's these scenes interspersed with, it's Kia and Kia's girlfriend, whose name I forgot, and then, like, some of their friends.
Evie.
That's right. And they are lying down with, like, all their heads together, you know. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing in the 90s, too, I feel like. And they're talking about, they're basically gossiping.
But, like, as the viewer.
Right.
It's like they just saw the scene that that the audience has seen, and then they talk about it as, like, gossip.
Yeah.
Those were the transition parts that I thought were strange.
Yeah.
But, you know, interesting, and it took me a little while to figure out what the frig they were doing.
Yeah.
I
got bored with those artsy ones. I was like, just move on already. They lasted a long time, some of them.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah.
But Eli is kind of a pushover.
Yeah.
I feel like she's been dating this woman for, you know, years at this point. But in the past 2.5 years, they haven't really seen each other. Mm-hmm. They've only seen each other like 3 times. Mm-hmm. And she still calls her partner and has this like intense sense of loyalty that she needs to hold on to.
Yeah.
Well,
one of the friends says that she's in like a comfortable spot.
Yeah.
Which makes sense to me. Like you can easily get comfortable in a situation like that, I feel like, because there's not a whole ton you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so she just, you know, doesn't really seek out anyone because she's in this relationship, but she kind of uses it as an excuse. Like, she's not really happy, but it's probably a lot easier than possibly, you know, dating and getting turned down and all that shit.
Yeah.
But she does kiss Max when Max leans in to kiss her.
Mm-hmm.
And
then the girlfriend calls and leaves a message. Calls.
Yeah. So they're like, Perfect timing. Do you want to talk about this? And basically the rest of the movie is this whole, like, almost like cat and mouse thing.
Yeah.
Of them, like, will they, won't they?
Yeah. It gets boring real fast.
Yeah, but it's mostly like, do I care?
Yeah, exactly.
If these two get together. But
there's a little bit of a side thing with Daria.
Yes, I love that part.
You do?
Yeah, so
what do you love about it?
Just that it made me think.
Oh.
But the fact that, so Daria is kind of taken, she has sex with a man, and her friends, her lesbian friends find out about it.
Okay, do you think that really happened, or do you think she was dreaming it?
I think it probably happened.
I felt like it was a dream just because of the way it was set up. Like, it was like they were in a room, like a dark room, and there were spotlights shining on everyone's faces. To me, that was like, oh, she's dreaming this because she has, like, all these complicated feelings about what she just did.
Oh, perhaps. Yeah.
I don't, but maybe it really happened.
They make
either
it
way.
Yeah, they don't make it clear whether or not it actually happened, and they don't bring it up necessarily after.
No, yeah, it's kind of just there, and then, like, she has sex with a woman, and then that's the end of that story.
Yeah, it's kind of just to bring up the point of, you know, how even in the 90s, you know, you get that stereotype of a dirty bisexual, like that kind of thing.
That part, it was intense, actually.
It was really intense.
Like, people were saying the most horrific things. They were, like, policing her identity so hard. I almost, like, couldn't even handle it. I was like, are you serious right now?
And like, sometimes they would say kind of, like, positive type things that would...
Yeah.
Like, Daria might agree with, and then they would just follow up immediately with, like, well, I don't think she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff like that where it's like, ugh!
Yeah, and so many of them were like, I would never have sex with a woman who slept with a man.
Yeah.
And, like...
So that kind of shit.
Yeah, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
It was really horrifying.
Yeah, that, like, in this... At this time, you know, I feel like a lot more people who identify as lesbians, like, do not care.
Right.
You know, what the other person identifies as long as they're interested in them, you know?
Right, exactly. And that's, Daria says that. She's constantly defending herself, and she defends herself in, like, a very articulate way, but just the fact that she is doing it and that she has to do it is, like, really kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
But she says, like, you know, no, I'm not bisexual. I am a lesbian. I just had sex with a man. And then they also talk about, they were like, one person said, oh, did you come? And she said, no. And then she said, well, then why did you do it if it wasn't for orgasm? And she said, For sex. And they're just like, they don't get it. Like, there's how are so they many, different?
Yeah, there's so many topics to bring up in that. Like, what is sex if not without an orgasm? It's still sex. Mm-hmm. Like, or why do people consider that as the, like, only thing?
Right. There's, like, a lot of other reasons that you could have sex besides, like, just getting an orgasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also still having that identity and, you know, it not fitting what other people think is that identity. Mm-hmm. So be like sleeping with a man and still saying that you're a lesbian. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm not bisexual. I am a lesbian. Yeah. I was just having sex with a man.
Yeah. That was like Chasing Amy too, kind of.
Sorry?
That was kind of like Chasing Amy too, because she identified as a lesbian the whole time, even though she was with this guy for a while.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it brings up, like, can we, you know, tell someone they're not what they are.
Yeah. No, we can't.
No, we can't.
That's the whole thing with identity is that you choose it for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember, this is kind of a side note, and we can edit this out if you want to, but do you remember in the L Word where there was
lesbian-identified man? I was just about to bring this up.
Okay. We're on the same wavelength.
So I was like,
what do you think about that?
So I was thinking of that too. What about if it's a man and they say, like, I'm a lesbian?
I know. I don't know what to think about that, honestly.
Do you think it wasn't like he was saying
I'm a trans lesbian.
You know, he was saying,
I'm a man, but I'm a lesbian.
So I feel like in order to be, like, you can't identify as a cis man and be a lesbian, because lesbians are for people who identify as
women.
No, but that's not true.
But they're all just words, right?
Yes.
So, like, in the end, you can, I guess, be a cis man and a lesbian, but, like, it still doesn't really compute for some reason. It's just, like, I mean, in the end, I'm not going to tell someone they can't be that.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I don't know what that was about in the L Word, like, what they were trying to do with that character.
I don't know either, because Alice was supposed to be bisexual.
Right.
And that didn't really happen.
Yeah.
I think that was the only
man. She got shamed for being bisexual a lot.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, I feel like the term lesbian, it should be for cis or non, like, identified women or non-binary folk who identify that way, but not for cis men.
Right. I feel that way too, but then I'm like, oh, maybe that's just fucked up that I feel that way, because, like,
yeah,
who am I to say?
Yeah, I guess,
we literally just concluded that, like, identity is something you choose for yourself, so I don't know.
But also, maybe only, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there, but, like, maybe if, I don't know, when you already have power, and you're choosing to identify with the marginalized group or something like that.
Yeah, maybe that's what's catching me.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, it's snagging me a little bit. Where I just can't really, like...
Like, if a guy came up to me and he was, like, I identify as a lesbian, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I love the Indigo Girls, too. You know? Like,
that's that sounds like something a guy said to me once, except the opposite.
Yeah, it's, like, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So it's, like, what does it mean? Like, do you want to be, like, culturally a lesbian?
Yeah.
Like, be involved in all the lesbian pop culture things, or...
What does that mean? Oh, my brain hurts.
Yeah. I feel like there's just something, that kind of makes
me... There's something about that power dynamic.
It's the power in it. Yeah. I'm not at all saying you can't say who you are or anything like that, because, I don't give a fuck. Even if a guy came up to me and said, I'm a lesbian, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. I could see someone saying that, like, just because they wanted to date or sleep with a lesbian. Yeah. They're like, oh, I'm a lesbian too.
Be like, well, you're not my kind of lesbian. Nope. Sorry. Like, not my type. Sorry. Not my type. Yeah, there is something about it that I think with this like inherent power that's given to you by society, like you shouldn't be able to say like, oh, I relinquish that, because it's not something that you can relinquish. Yeah. You always have it, you know, you can't relinquish that power.
Yeah. If you like really are a cis man, cis white man specifically.
It's like that whole Rachel Dolezal thing too, where it's like you can't relinquish your whiteness and say that you're black now.
Right.
And it's like you can have black friends and in some sense identify with black culture, but that doesn't mean that it's yours to have.
Right.
So
yeah.
As an identity.
Yeah.
That's true. There's, I think, whatever there's a, the power, if you're given that inherent power by society, you can't be like, you can't say, I relinquish this power and I'm just like you, because you're not. And society doesn't treat you like the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not.
Whew. That was a conversation. What do you think, listeners? You should tell us.
At galpauswatch@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But on the same kind of path of identity, whole Butch thing with Eli. Let's talk about that.
Okay. So you want me to talk about it?
Okay. I want you to talk about it because you guys have the same haircut.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. We do have the same haircut. It's true.
And you had quite long hair, just like Eli, and then you cut it real short.
Actually,
just
I think Eli and I look alike a little bit.
You do.
Yeah.
You look, you have short blonde hair.
Yeah.
Glasses.
Mm-hmm. And we both
You prefer a skirt more.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how Eli, like, after she got her hair cut, she actually started dressing in more, like, quote-unquote masculine clothes.
I agree.
Yeah.
And what's that about?
She looked really rad.
Oh, she looked awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not at all. Yeah. Her fashion was the bomb.
Yeah. After the haircut. Not so after much the before. Haircut. I mean, who am I to judge? Whatever. So, yeah, it was funny because, like, I'm not sure why she decided to cut her hair. I think it was maybe that she was like nearing this point of realizing that she was maybe into Max. She maybe needed to break up with her girlfriend in Seattle. And she just like needed a change, I guess. Like there's something powerful about changing your outward appearance.
Yeah.
When you're like about to do something big or like something you feel like it's a kind of a moment in your life, like which I guess is kind of what I did when I cut my hair, in a way. I mean, it wasn't like that moment specifically, it was my birthday, so I just used that as an excuse, but it was like right around that time when I was realizing that I was like probably not going to be able to run the way I was before, and like I don't know, all that stuff. So
yeah,
but it felt super freeing for me to do it. Like, it was the best. In the movie, Eli is a lot more nervous about it than I was. I think I had gotten to the point where I was like, no, I'm good. Just take it off.
Yeah.
She was, like, kind of freaking out about it and having second thoughts right up until the last minute. And then there was this really weird montage that, like, didn't make sense in time because it was, like, a clip of her where most of her hair was cut off, and then it would, like, be a clip where most of her hair was still on. Just, like,
oh!
That was so bizarre. I was like, what's happening?
You're right. Because I remember thinking, wait, what?
Yeah. But I was like, what is happening? What kind of haircut is she getting? So, and there was weird music too. Yes, very lesbian.
Yeah, and it's like she gets it done by someone who's like just about to get her license.
I feel like that's such a queer thing too, where like all the queers, they just like do shit for each other, even though they're not like technically licensed.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A lot of tattoo artists are like that too.
Yeah. And like piercers, things like that. But the thing that I thought was interesting is, I forget. I believe it's Eli.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about being out and what that means. And basically Max says something to the effect of like, I don't want to cut my hair. Even if it means that like, I don't, I'm not like presented enough to like the lesbian community as being a lesbian.
Right.
And Eli's like, yeah, you shouldn't cut your hair. It's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. But they basically talk about the strain of never being out enough. That's what they mm-hmm. say. That's one of the lines in the movie, which I thought was another really interesting point in this totally. Movie that I liked, because they start to attack that femme butch dynamic mm-hmm. that is super outdated.
Yeah.
And it was even outdated in the 90s.
I know.
It was really, it's clock was ticking.
Yeah.
But yet you still have the pressure to like conform to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was interesting and that Eli still decided to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if Eli did it because of the strain or because of like that big life change.
Yeah.
And that's not
Maybe
really
it was
clear.
Both.
Yeah.
You never know.
Cause like, she ends up changing her hair and things like that. So, mm-hmm. Changing her clothes, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. That scene where they're talking about hair and, like, butch presentation and femme presentation and stuff, I thought that overall it was a good scene, but, again, Max just was, like, basically telling Eli, like, you're butch now.
Yeah, what to feel. And
yeah, exactly. Like, what she is and how she should feel. And I just was like, Max, Jesus! Stop being such an asshole.
Which is really funny because, so, Evie, Kia's girlfriend, mm-hmm. ends up getting...
She has a storyline at the... It's, like, crammed in at the end of the movie.
Yeah. So she gets kicked out of her mom's house because her mom finds out that she's gay and they're from a pretty... strong Catholic Latino mm-hmm. Latinx household.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes to Kia's house and she's like, dude, I'm basically homeless. Mm-hmm. And Max is like, oh, that sucks. Let's try to like take revenge on this guy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And
the guy who told her mom. Is that her? Was it like her quote unquote boyfriend?
Or? I thought it was like an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. That's what I thought too. But then I was so confused. I was like, why is he there? Like,
yeah, I wasn't sure if it was a brother or an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But then Evie tells Max, she goes, Max, you never know when to be quiet. Which I was like, this is what this movie should have just been called.
And scene. Yeah, it should be the title. Max doesn't know how to be quiet.
Max doesn't know when to be quiet.
Yeah.
So just shut up. You're not adding anything right now. The part that I did like, even though I've been hating on Max and Eli for a while now, mm-hmm. the Clipper scene was fucking hilarious.
Okay. I couldn't tell if I thought it was funny or gross. Or I just, at that point, I was kind of over this movie.
So I've heard this scene as being like iconic.
Really?
So
that's so interesting.
So I couldn't wait to see it.
That's hilarious.
I hadn't seen this movie, so I was like, I can't wait to see this in full. Like I had seen pictures of it,
mm-hmm.
But basically it's like, yeah, I'm gonna cut your nails so you can not annihilate my vagine later.
Oh,
God. Vagina.
You know,
sorry.
Oh, that's funny. So. When I was, like, looking up some articles on this movie, I found one on Autostraddle from 2017, I think, where the writer, I think it was Erin, maybe, she was doing this series where she was, like, watching sort of classic old movies and writing about them. She wrote the most hilarious review I think I've ever read of this movie, and I just loved it. So you should definitely read it. I'll link it in the show notes. But, she talked about that scene and she was like, all I could think about was that the nails were just going everywhere. There was no receptacle for that.
That is true.
Yeah.
They're
and then
neat about
I read
it.
That and I was like, oh yeah.
That is accurate. They're not very neat about it.
Nope.
Yeah. There's no like collecting them.
Yeah. She wrote something. She was like, and then I just thought to myself, there's all kinds of people in this world.
That is accurate.
Yeah.
That is so accurate. Yeah. Yeah, so they hook up and they finally get it together and realize that they like each other or something.
Or something. It's a big or something.
But I also thought it was funny that, their second date, technically, Max just goes, just come over and we'll figure it out. And I'm like, if it's a just come over and we'll figure it out kind of date, it means it's a hookup.
Yeah.
And you're fucking that night. So
yeah. Just so if you don't want to, you should speak up.
For me to you listeners, if some girl's like, yeah, just come over to my place and we'll figure it out. Be prepared.
You should say,
or
hey, just say what no. does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, be more specific,
bake
please.
Bake at your house. Let's come up with some ideas, yeah. maybe.
Maybe we can
unless
bake some cookies.
Unless you want to like get it on, then
yeah,
yeah.
Do then it. You should say that.
Totes.
Do it. Communication is key.
Another part that I loved about this movie was when they finally hook up, all the friends from both sides are like, like, oh my God, what was it like? Tell me all about it, which I thought was like just so funny.
Oh God.
And like, you know, gossipy
yeah.
and, you know, a little trashy,
yeah.
but also like sweet because the friends care.
Yeah. But I then, know. The friends, they were so gossipy and a little judgmental, but they also cared a lot about their friends. Like, they wanted them to be happy.
Yeah, in the end, I thought they were supportive.
Yeah.
But it's also that, you know, that 90s idea of, like, oh, my God, who are you with?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, did you know that? And it's, like, we're still very underground, so it's, like, everything's kind of on the DL.
Yeah.
yeah. In general, yeah. like, I liked different parts of this movie, but it was super like cheesy and strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I would ever watch this again. Whereas like with Watermelon Woman, I would watch it again, I think.
Yeah.
But eh.
The movie ends with basically Max going on another like narration about how the girl is out there, blah blah blah.
Oh.
And I'm just yes. like I just still don't buy it between
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, what if you don't want to?
Yeah.
Like, I thought of you.
Thanks.
Like, you can still identify as a lesbian and yeah. not necessarily have to have a one and only.
Mm-hmm.
It could be for, like, asexual folks or yeah. you know, poly people. Like, poly people, that sounds like a poly pocket.
Yes, oh my God, I was just thinking that.
Poly people.
It must be, like, 90s, the 90s vibes from this movie. Did you have a poly pocket?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, me too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I was obsessed with it.
I loved it. And they got, now they're a lot bigger.
Oh, they are?
They're about.
They don't fit in your pocket anymore.
They still fit in your pocket, okay. but you can't swallow them.
Oh.
Because Polly Pockets were like that
big. They were
big.
So small.
But you could, but they were like, they weren't a choking hazard.
No. They were so small that if you swallowed it, you probably wouldn't know.
No, it wouldn't affect your system. But no. now if you tried to swallow a Polly Pocket, something's going to happen to you. And that has been Go Fish. something I thought was pretty interesting, though, mm-hmm. is that this movie had a $15,000 budget,
mm-hmm.
and it has since grossed over $2 million just in the United States. So that's some pretty good
Who's
return.
Who's paying for this movie? Well, we are, I guess.
Suckas like you and me. Got you.
Yep. I was bummed that this cost $3.99, but eh.
I would watch it again for shits and giggles.
You would?
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay $3.99 for it again. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to, like, get up a group of friends together and be like, dude, this is yeah. what lesbians were like in the 90s. Isn't that crazy?
Look how horrible they are.
It's nuts, dog. but then also I respect people like Rose Trochet mm-hmm. and
Guinevere Turner
for being so out.
Yeah.
At a time when it was still really dangerous to be mm-hmm. out, and for Guinevere Turner to be so, like, as kind of like the front woman for a lot of these films.
Mm-hmm. She's or at very least, femme presenting and
yeah.
her own, like, fashion and stuff.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I do respect that and mm-hmm. the fact that they made this movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Props to that.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wish I'd seen it in the 90s, but I yeah. was like. Actually, I guess I was like 9 at that point.
A wee babe.
A wee babe.
Probably not allowed to see boobs on TV.
I saw boobs on TV for the first time when I was 5 years old.
Wow, whose boobs are they?
I have no idea. I don't know what it was. I just remember it.
Got it. Got to track it down.
Yeah. I'm sure it's just some random, I don't know. Some boobs. Random movie that
some
was
random
on or something.
Boobs. Anyway, let us know the first boobs you know.
I was just going to say that. Well, whose boobs were the first you saw?
On television.
Don't tell us that.
As a child. Because
on television, you can tell us.
Because let's be real. You saw boobs on TV as a kid.
Yeah. And you were like, boobs.
Like, what? Not just my mom.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell us really anything at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
Or galpalswatch on Twitter.
Or galpalswatch on Instagram.
Indeed. EO.
Dilly do.
Thanks for being gay, gal. Gay, y'all.
Gay. Gay, gal. I can't even. Gay! 'Cause it sounds like a cat. Meow. I need to go somewhere. Like a cat going to the vet.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It's not really an emergency. It's like someone's maybe like has a hangnail.
Oh my gosh, a hangnail.